I love money. I love earning it. It's even cooler when you do it legally, you know. But being honest, it feels great, bro. Like, it's crazy.
Was it just prison, or was there any particular other point in time that...
No, I mean, just like the prison in general. When I got arrested, I'm detoxing. I'm down the rabbit hole of addiction, and they throw you in a cell until you figure it out. Find your why, set your goals, go get it. There's probably no greater industry that you can reach your personal goals. I've gotten tears from old ladies and hugs, and I have some emails, and it's just like, I get it, lady, I got you, you know?
Well, welcome everybody to this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. This one's going to be extremely fun, brother. This is my brother, my partner in crime of a business, a partner that I don't have any better words for you other than you're like my brother. You're like my big brother, and you're also kind of like my children. You're like, I have to keep up with you too. You know what I mean?
That's a tall order.
But Tony Carleo here, owner of Patriot Roofing. We are business partners in that business, Patriot Roofing, and we're really excited about this episode because Tony's story, I have to say, is literally the most insane story, and probably something that's even like challenging the status quo of all things what we're already about with No Suits Allowed, that is like completely raw, unfiltered conversations. And we're going to learn a little about his story today and learn a little bit about how he has transformed from a person as well as a business leader and an entrepreneur, and be able to really kind of capture a lot of that for you. So we hope that this is meaningful to you. And so if you love this episode, make sure you like, subscribe, share this out. This is a really powerful story, and I hope it makes it out to the folks that need to hear it, because this is a really rock solid guy. So I'm excited to get into it. So yeah, brother. It's a little travel. So we're in Denver right now.
Yes,
and
sir.
We're based in Pueblo. I say we. He lives in Pueblo. I live in South Carolina, but Pueblo, Colorado is where Tony's based. And I'll just share just a very brief overview of like our relationship and kind of how we met, and then be able to let him share his story, and we'll hop into it. So we started out as I was a consulting partner of a business he worked for. Things, you know, ended organically there, and Tony decided he wanted to start out on his own and be able to start Patriot Roofing. He approached me and wanted to be able to engage in a business partnership, and so we got to obviously know each other in the process of working together previously under that engagement, but then we obviously became a lot closer and a lot more involved with one another as we became business partners. And so it's been really exciting to be able to go through that process together. But based in Pueblo, Colorado, and tell us about yourself, brother, and just introduce yourself to the world.
All right. Well,
nobody knows who you are, so
that's probably a good thing. Again, my name's Tony. Born in Las Vegas, raised in Pueblo, Colorado. 44 years old.
Beautiful lady. Beautiful
lady. I'm blessed. I got a beautiful family, a beautiful daughter, huge family, roots spread all over the country. And I essentially got into owning a roofing company because ended up going down a different path in life and, you know, becoming a felon of sorts and doing some time in prison. And man, there's not a lot of choices once you get out of prison. And I'd worked in the roofing industry prior, around 2008, and wasn't smart enough at the time to realized that the enormous amount of money I made in a short time period, 30, 45 days selling roofs when I had no idea what I was doing, you know, made 30, 40 grand in like 50 days, whatever, right? Yeah. My brain should have been like, hey, man, this is probably an industry you want to pay attention to, but I had other things on the plate. So we went down that path. I took a left turn, made some poor life choices, ended up in prison for 9 years, and you're in prison wondering what the rest of your life's going to look like. And, you know, yeah, I got that roofing thing that I did, you know, let's look into that. So read a lot of books. I always had a goal to open a roofing company. A friend of mine owned one, and I'd worked for him for at least 2 years. We did about four. It was great. Great experience. I learned a lot. And, I love what I do now. It's an honest, earnest, wholesome profession if you do it right. And unfortunately, like good roofers and folks that know how to navigate this complex insurance industry, insurance restoration industry, like those are becoming more and more important because the game's changing and carriers make it impossible to deal with for homeowners. So
There's a lot of satisfaction
I
and
love
like.
it. Yeah, like I've gotten tears from old ladies and hugs, and I have some emails, and it's just like, I get it, lady. I got you, you
And
know?
if you don't know Tony, which most of you don't, he's a big hugger. He's like a big teddy bear.
Yeah,
Just wants to hug you and
too
love on
much
you.
sometimes for
No,
some
yeah, but
people,
I
but
love it. You know,
yeah.
we're like that.
People
You
are
know,
like, hey, back off,
you know,
man. I'm like,
sometimes
nah, bring
people
it
love
in,
it.
dude.
Yeah, no.
I'm Italian and Arabic. That's what we do.
Yeah, so let's dive into the story a little bit.
Sure.
Because now, you know, okay, we hit the surface. I know that the conversation is very much a we want to keep it at least some level of PG-13 here, because there's a lot of things that happened over the course. And we're not going to drop that podcast, but if you want to go out there and search it on the interweb, unless you want to plug it, but
No, I don't care. The
I'll
High
say
Roller Heist.
it's called The High Roller Heist. Then there you go, High Roller Heist. It's on podcast, very well professionally done with a production studio out of Denver. The narrator of the story is one of Tony's friends, Chris Sims, and you guys would love listening to that if you're interested in some of those suspenseful stories. So he's got a great, yeah, it's a great job. But I want to talk to you about your personal side of things and your personal story. So, you know, obviously, you know, we want to again keep it. We can't go into all the depths because the podcast that is the High Roller Heist is literally like 7 episodes long, and you know, it's a 7-hour ordeal, whatever it is. It's an enormously long, detailed story. But let's talk about just kind of what the journey was. So you obviously your family, you grew up through a good family.
Greatest.
Greatest family that I know you have a lot of respect for for both your fathers, for your blood father and your stepfather. But you know, you obviously had a couple of hubs. You had the Pueblo hub and the Vegas hub, and you kind of bounced between both. But yeah, just give the audience a little bit of the background of kind of just what led you into some of the personal things, and then like what ended up happening through that process, and if you're comfortable to share, and just what happened, and then at least give a little bit of the kind of the story of what led you out of there. Because obviously that's 9 years of being in prison, doing the things that you did. And I'm gonna let you share a little bit of that in a second, as much as you want to share. But then kind of the bounce back, because you're a totally different human, brother, than you were whenever you were in that season of your life. You're 42 now, right? 44,
I
42,
wish 44.
44. Goodness gracious, getting old. We are both of us. But
I got more gray than you.
but 44, you know, we're talking what, 2010, whenever that
Maybe
was, and
like
even before
15
then,
years ago,
yeah,
yeah.
15 years ago, and just the transformation you've had as a person. So let's hear a little bit about kind of what happened and then the transformation that took place.
Yeah, so I mean, unfortunately, this isn't a unique story. I mean, I had an injury, got prescribed some pain pills, OxyContin. That was when the pill mills were prevalent, and you know, they were a dime a dozen. And long story short, I mean, got hooked on OxyContin, and I'm fairly entrepreneurial, so I don't like paying retail pricing for things. So one thing leads to
We're in a
another.
good vice now, though.
Yeah,
That's the good
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
you know.
But you know, you just kind of get into that lifestyle. And you know, I'm addicted to these things. I'm selling these things. It's nothing good, right? But you know, I ended up moving to Las Vegas to attend UNLV. I was a pre-med student. I had a 4.0 GPA when this all went down. I was doing it, and then you know,
Super smart cat, for
I
sure.
had.
Like, super smart guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, brother.
Sometimes
No, you are.
it's not a smart criminal though. That's probably a good thing. I'd actually like stopped on my own volition doing the drugs and took some Suboxones for a few weeks, and I thought it was behind me. And then
And then Christmas
get
party.
lonely. Yeah, I
Christmas
met a
party.
gal at a Christmas party. She says the bad word OxyContin, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go get some of those. And then butterfly effect, Pandora's box, whatever you want to call it. And you know, one of the side effects of drug addiction turns out is robbing a casino. That's they don't list that on the song.
All right, so if you were waiting for the big drop,
Yeah.
there it was. So
Yeah.
yeah, so
Two casinos, actually.
Rob's two
Yeah.
casinos
Yeah.
actually,
So,
and that happened in Vegas.
in Las Vegas. Yeah, it turns out they frown upon that in that particular city. It's one of their cottage industries, I suppose. So no, I'm not trying to make light of it. It's just
No,
how are
it's not a funny
you
thing.
know, it's
It's
how I
funny.
do it
It's
too.
funny with the story that is now,
Yeah.
because obviously no one got hurt in the process and all these things that could have gone a really, really different direction, obviously, at that time. But go
No,
ahead, continue.
absolutely.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, so I mean, we don't need to get on the all the you know the details and all that, but did some stupid stuff, robbed two casinos, got caught. Not a very good criminal. It's probably a good thing. It would save my life. I was doing so many pills, during that time period. Like I literally should be dead.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I was gonna. I know I'm gonna let you share the story and
No,
keep
go ahead.
interjecting, brother. But like, I know I've asked you that many a times. Like, what are you thankful for? You're like, I'm thankful I got caught. Like, because if you had not gotten caught, you would have been dead. And then on top of that, like, there was obviously a big spiritual awakening in you that you completely changed your life around when it comes to just valuing, you know, valuing life, valuing family, valuing what you have now. And like, obviously, we still have fun, but in a totally different way, in a way that's like very much, you know, wholesome and good for life, you know. So yeah, I mean, I just want to interject and say that like, that's one of the things I know has been a big pivotal piece for you is like obviously the vice it is more for the roofing side of things now and the things you do as an entrepreneur in a very legal sense, but like you know you really took the onus of fixating taking something that was like obviously a detrimental situation and something you're very thankful like you said that you got caught into. You're still the same person in some ways, but you're putting that time and energy towards something that's so much more wholesome and good for you and your family and helping others and all that sort of stuff, and it's super cool to see. I
Yeah,
know.
well, I mean, just, you know, 9 years in prison like changes your perspective, right? Like, if it doesn't, we need to go back. It was terrible. I was lucky enough to have a very supportive family and support system out here, and not a lot of people that are on the other side of the wall have that. So, it just makes you appreciate things. Transitioning into the roofing industry, like I was a hustler back in the day. Like, what do we do now? We hustle. We're just not looking over our shoulder when we're doing what we're doing here. So there's some similarities, and I know the roofing industry is notorious for, I've heard some jokes or some innuendos like, well, like once you hit rock bottom, then you go become a roofer, rider. Like that's just like what our
There are a
industry
lot of people like
does.
that,
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, my story is not unique in that sense, but. And what a hell of an industry we have. You know what I mean?
Right way.
If you do it the right way, the life you can provide for you and your family and the people that work for you, like in this industry, like what else is a felon, notorious felon? Like, where am I going to go to get a job, dude? Like, you know what I mean? Med school was out. There ain't a lot of options, right? So where else can you go? And if you apply yourself and do it the right way, and learn, thank you know I'm thankful for everybody's taught me anything I know, and I've taken a lot of initiative to try to become a good craftsman at my craft. And the income that we can make here in life, you can provide, is I don't know where else you can do this legally, you know what I mean?
And I know from our standpoint, you know, again, like when we first got into the ring together as business partners, obviously there's a lot of learning that happens in business partnerships. I've had a lot of those in the past and a lot of those being very unsuccessful. But I think with ours, it's like it's so complementary. And obviously
You
I
do all
don't
the stuff I don't want to do.
and vice versa. I'm not,
Yeah.
well, I say I
Well, I'm
enjoy what you
here.
do, but you're here
You couldn't do it
and
remotely.
I couldn't physically do it. But it's like I love doing that, and I love the way our deal is structured. And I know that you have felt the same way. We've talked about that behind, you know, off camera many a times. Of just like it's really cool to see someone that's had that type of story that then, you know, look at you now, dude. And it's like, and I know that, you know, we've shed tears together, we've talked about everything under the sun together. But as far as like just what it was like just a very short time ago, to where you are now, it's truly incredible, dude.
I
So.
still pinch myself, dude.
I know. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the entrepreneurial stuff. So, I mean, you've always had that entrepreneurial bug for sure. Like that's
I'm a
throughout,
nine to
brothers.
five guy.
Yeah. You're not a,
No,
yeah. No,
I'd be
you're more of like,
fired. No, let's get
you're
this
more of
guy
like
out of here.
11 a.m. to 4 and then from like 9 to 3 in the morning or whatever. So, but no, you know, jokes aside, Tony's a night owl to say the least. So no, I mean, as far as like your entrepreneurial tendencies, which have obviously been since you were a kid, you know, I you like talking to Lacey or talking to Gina or your sisters, you know, you've always had that knack in
Bookie
you.
in elementary
Yeah, you're
school.
a bookie at elementary school. I love
Booking
it.
bets. And literally my grandpa was a bookie back in the day. I'm like, oh, I want to do that. So I'm like, I got caught too, but so I had a little piece of paper with all these kids' bets on it for the Super Bowl. I'm like, get
Always,
out of here with that, man.
always hustling, always hustling. All of that to say, You obviously now have a what is we would call a legitimate entrepreneurial
Vehicle,
experience now,
yeah.
and you have a vehicle. Exactly.
We're
You're in the
in
vehicle
the car,
now.
yeah.
You're not and you're in a good you're in a legally
Legal
a
one.
legal one, right? Okay. What are the things that you would say you've learned across the time frame of being able to, really just take, I know you talk about and I learn from you too. I mean, it goes both ways, but I know you said you've learned from me and other people obviously as well. What would you say is the biggest, what is, and even still is maybe the biggest hurdle, but what has been your biggest challenge and what have you learned in at least in the last, let's call it the last 2 to 3 years of time where you've really started to you've owned your stuff, even when you were with the previous company. You were pretty much doing it top to bottom, and then now you do have your own thing. And I guess open up a little bit about what are the challenges for you, and what are the things that you're trying to continue to grow in as an entrepreneur, as you've now obviously have the vehicle and very seasoned in that process.
Right. So, can I cuss on here?
Sure.
So, for those of you who don't know, Connor gets hired by companies, and I'm going to be blunt, to unfuck them when they've fucked themselves, right? And that's the position you were in at the previous company and how I met you. So, what I took away from that when I was deciding I was going to do my own thing. Okay, we made that decision, and then, okay, do I want to pay you a fee per month to come in and help me? Or in our other, we went the other direction, and we shared some equity. So, I realized how important it is to not start off down a bad path. So you have to get brought back onto the path. Let's stay on the path. Everything's cleaner, more efficient. The metrics can be tracked. Just the stuff you don't think about until you the other day we went through the some of the features on Nimbus, insights, right?
Yeah, CRM in our industry.
CRM, yeah. So it's basically okay, you're spending this much here, you're getting this many calls, closing this many deals, and seeing that, it's like, oh, like the why is important. Okay, why do we care about that? Because it affects this, this, and this. Oh, well, cool, that's important. So let's pay attention over here. So, just starting from a clean place, keeping it there, and doing the little things
The right
well,
way.
right? Those are very important.
But that's also contrarily your biggest challenge, because I think, and you're a very detailed guy, but detailed in a lot of different ways. I would say you're detailed on the customer side,
Yes.
but when it comes to business, it's however it needs to be done, let's just get it done. But
Yeah.
you're finding that the details matter.
Well, yeah, like when we if we were to when we scale, then it becomes even more important.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Blake the other day. He's you're helping.
Yeah, he got me connected with his brother. I'm working
I
with his
need a
brother now.
referral fee for that,
Yeah,
by the
you
way.
do need a referral
Yeah,
fee.
give me that
Appreciate
money.
that.
Don't break me off,
I
player.
am gonna break you
I'm
off.
just talking shit. But no, and I was just telling, he and I were talking about you, and I was just like, okay, well, he's taking me, bro. He wants to just spend all this money, get all that. I'm like, bro, you're crazy. Slow down, go small, get the small things right. So, getting everything set up, muy importante. And then, just when you're trying to scale, you have to have a repeatable. I don't want to spend 10 hours a week training five new guys each, right? So get it simple, get it repeatable, get it consistent across just
All
consistency
the
is the name.
departments
Yeah.
and
And then
whatever.
it becomes easy. Don't reinvent the wheel here. This is how we do it. Get on board or don't
And we're
ride in the
still
car.
working on that with Patriot.
Oh, far. Yeah, we're not even close
But
to,
we are,
but we have
when you
the.
consider where you are in consideration of a lot of other companies and
Oh,
all
we're
those
open,
things,
yeah,
yeah.
what,
So,
15 months, and
yeah.
we're doing well.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. And it's just those little things are very important, I guess, is the crux of that. And you have to care. You have to The industry is evolving. So from an entrepreneur, what you asked me,
And this podcast is not just only roofing industry, but specifically for the roofing industry, it's changing a lot. And so you're talking about keeping up on the front edge of that change.
Yeah, those goalposts are moving.
Yeah, constantly.
Most of what we do is insurance restoration work, and God bless insurance companies. They're a necessary evil, but they're moving the goalposts. They're a for-profit business, and I get that. And they have, there's natural friction in that relationship between contractor and insurance company. And I try to do everything I can to mitigate that friction, but I'm also like a bulldog to advocate for our customers who literally have no fucking idea they get the deer in the headlights look. I'm, you know, just trying to explain to some customer why they need to show me their insurance paperwork. Well, no, I'm cheaping this. You know, I'm like, come on, man. It says on the paper, show me your damn paperwork. So, come on, your company is telling you to show me that. And yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, and they're, you know, coverages are changing, deductibles are changing, adjusters, and just nonsense. I mean, they're always, so I've tried to become very good at advocating for our customers, knowing my shit. When I'm right, we're going to fight, you know, and I can admit when I'm wrong. I try to have good relationships with adjusters to the extent that I can, and just, you know, communicate and just move the ball down the field. Right. And that's the name of the game. Like, how do we get this customer what they are owed and deserve to get their property and their life made back whole before the loss condition? Right.
Yeah. So, and you're great at what you do with that stuff.
And I'm sick. Yeah. I like, you know what I mean? I like
the
fight.
Well, I know you like the process of that too, which you're obviously great at it.
Yeah. But my real dad's a lawyer, so I kind of maybe have some of that.
And that's another thing about, you know, there's some ties to, we didn't get into all that. There's too much to go into there, but his dad's a very, very well recognized attorney and all those things. So that's in his blood. Coming back a little bit to the personal side, and not because, you know, we haven't hit enough on that, but I want to just ask you another question that came to my mind. You know, when you talk about your biggest transformation, I know, or this transformation, like the biggest, I guess, like maybe the biggest piece of that when you consider all the things that have happened, right? I know you talked about, like, obviously prison changes you. There's things that happen, right? But was there any, like, key moment or anything that happened in your life that really... you're like, dude, there's no way that I'm going to go back to what happened then. Like, was there a pivotal moment, or was it just the time? And if the answer is it's just the time in prison, that's fine. But like, was there anything that like really made an impact on your life, or you did, or reached out to somebody, or had something that kept you in that mindset of like, I'm never going back there again. That's like not even an option for me anymore.
Oh, I mean, just 30,000 foot view, 3,285 days in prison, but who's counting? You know what I mean?
No, and if that's it, that's fine. I just figured I would ask for, in case someone is out there struggling with that type of situation, right? Like, was there anything besides just literally getting to a point where you're like, thank God that I didn't die in that process of going through the amount of drugs I was taking, obviously being incarcerated, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong in those situations. But like, was it just prison, or was there any particular other point in time that
no, like, I mean, just like the prison in general, but I mean, like... When I got arrested, like I'm detoxing, I'm down the rabbit hole of addiction, and just like they throw you in a cell till you figure it out, and you're just like there with your thoughts and your nausea, and you look in your toilet and there's just a bunch of brown stuff, and you think it's rust, and then like 4 days later you figure out you can clean the toilet and found out it wasn't rust. It was just like
it's just poop, a mess,
gross nastiness, and you're just like, is this really my life?
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, we can't do that anymore. And then just like, you know, the cumulative time away, you miss birthdays, you know, I lost some people. My mom died, my grandpa died, stepmom passed away. That's, you know, those are pretty monumental moments in your life. And
and I I'm not trying to make you relive that, because I know that's a hard situation for you, but thank you for being vulnerable. My main thing is like, I've had people work for me in the past. You know, I've had folks that have had those types of issues before. And like the first person I think of like, and I know your situation could have gone a totally different direction had those, in my opinion, like seriously, like an angel watching after you, because that situation could have gone such a different route, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
That I think about like, oh, they need to talk to someone like Tony, or talk to someone, you know, that has that type of story, which is why I wanted to share your story. Yeah. Yes, the entrepreneurial stuff is super important. And yes, it's something we need to, for a few more minutes, talk about until we wrap this up.
Yeah.
But I think just for this segment specifically, it's like, there's a lot of people out there, you know, there's I think it's like Roofers in Recovery. There's other organizations out there, and those are great organizations. I actually plan to have, one of the guys that runs that on the podcast at some point, but just like, I'm not saying it's oxy, but it's like, whether it's, you know, heroin or it's cocaine or it's whatever. Right. That's something that I just wanted to ask the question, because I think that like people need to be able to know that like there's your story inspires a lot of people. And I understand, again, the circumstances played in the effect of it's like, well, I didn't really have a choice. And thank God it happened or I'd have been dead. But, you know, hopefully the story leads someone into a position where they don't have to go down that path, right? And they're like, listen, man, there's opportunity over here. You can really make a good life for yourself, make tons of money, tons of impact, have a great family, you know, all those things. So that's why I wanted to ask that question.
Yeah,
so.
Funny you should mention, like, I had some people that love me before this all happened, like, sit me down. And, you know, when you're an addict, bro, like academically, you could just say like, hey, like, don't do this. And you know, this is going to be bad and all this stuff. But the reality of the situation is that some people won't get that message. Don't give two shits about it until they do bounce off that bottom rock. You know what I mean? And go sit your ass down for 3, 4, 5, 9 years, whatever it is, you know. And unfortunately, that's just human nature. Like, you can lead the horse to the water per se, but.
Yep. Well, if you had to talk about kind of your goal in mind or the things you're trying to accomplish as an entrepreneur and business leader over the next few years with your brand, what you're doing, obviously you want to service the community. You're very, very deep roots in Pueblo, so much that we can't fit it in this episode, right? Your stepfather and, you know, all your brothers and sisters and folks that are, you know, but like, as far as the plans for the company and just like, what is your, I know I asked that question earlier and you gave a great answer otherwise of like the things that are important, but like, what do you see as the next hurdle for you or the thing that you're like, hey, I'm really trying to overcome this as an entrepreneur to be able to go to the next level. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Determining what you want the next level to be. I guess you asked
We've
me
talked
that.
About that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. It's not easy to answer. Like, what do we want to be? Do we want to be the company with 4 or 5 sales reps that just
small mom and pop, does three
to 5 million a year, make a great life. I mean, okay, that's good. Or do we want to go balls to the walls and really scale it and, you know, biggie small, more money, more problems? So I don't know. And I really don't know the answer to that question. Human capital is important. You know what I mean? Like, finding good people, developing them. Like, the world we live in is crazy, man. Like, these kids don't work. They lack social skills, like the younger generation coming up, you know, they're always on the phones. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to find good talent. Training them, keeping them happy, getting them to buy into the system. And, you know, we're blessed. We have good people on our team, and we just added another one recently. And he was a person that had some problems back in his past too. So we're felon friendly here at Patriot Roofing. No, I kid, but you know, I'm always, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to, if the time ever comes, give somebody that chance if I think they deserve it. Right? We don't just hire any turd with a story. But
no, and I was gonna say that I think one thing, I know he's sitting back there, Zion. You know, Zion's a top notch guy sitting back there watching us right now.
Yes, he is. And handsome little devil.
He is a handsome little devil.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, other individuals that are involved, you know, yeah, I mean, it's top quality people.
Yeah.
And I think if the message was anything, I'm not trying to build your message for you, but I think you're definitely a people first person. It's like, it's definitely not talent first. It's good people.
I'd rather train somebody if they're trainable. You know, I don't know everything. God knows that, but I can teach you what I know. I can show you how successful I've been. And I've been in this game, what, 4.5 years?
Yep.
You can look up what I stole and I can tell you I've made more money. Here's just irony. I've made more money than I stole in a very short period, in a third of the time that I had to pay for that. I feel stupid. You know what I mean? If I'm being honest, but it is what it is. So like, okay. So you do what they do, you get what, right. So I could show you what I'm doing. This is how I do it. This is why I do it, blah, blah, blah. Or you can go try to reinvent the wheel. You know what I mean? And I don't know everything. I still learn every day. Like, when I first got into this, I'm watching YouTube videos, I'm reading books, you know, subscribing to you know, Adam Benzman's thing, just anything I can do, to watch some of your content to better myself, learn, grow. And, you know, it's humbling when you learn stuff, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we don't know everything, but, yeah, just keep growing, man. And if I can give anybody an opportunity, I'm blessed to be able to do so. So.
Well, we're going to wrap this up.
That was fast, man.
Was it fast?
I don't know.
I think we're
I don't know how long we've been talking.
Maybe 34. There we go. Great. There we go. 30 minutes. There we go.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It is.
It doesn't fly when you're in
here,
prison,
though. we obviously give each other huge bear hugs right now if we weren't mic'd
That's
up
all right,
and
man.
cause a lot of problems here. But I
I have
love
a
you,
shower
brother.
for you.
And I think
I love you
you.
too. I appreciate
Thank
you,
you.
and
Thank you, man.
we're I'm blessed that our paths crossed, and
For sure.
it's been fruitful. And I still don't know what I want our company to look like, but that'll be some soul searching. And if we can grow it organically, and it just depends on the people that come along and what we do. We'll make it work.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fruitful regardless. Just to close us out here, any final thoughts or anything that's, I guess, carrying you forward and inspiration of what you do, other than, I mean, obviously I know you like, your baby girl, your lady, the things that motivate you in your life from a family perspective. But anything else that's, kind of carrying you forward and motivates you to do what you do, and kind of the final word that you want to leave with people that are hearing this story?
I love money. I love earning it. It's even cooler when you do it legally, but being honest, it feels great, bro. It's crazy. The risks I used to take for peanuts and compare, what a dummy I am.
That's okay. Life's
you
alert.
Learn.
Life's
Yes,
alert.
I have no regrets,
life's
though, dude.
Alert.
I literally,
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
besides the pain and, suffering it caused my family, I would be dead. So how can I regret sitting here with you talking today? You know what I mean? And just now that I have a family and a beautiful little baby and a beautiful lady, now I just I work my ass off. You know what I mean? And that's, it makes it worth it. You know, when I'm up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, bitching at insurance adjusters, writing frustrated emails that are probably much too lengthy. But, it's just you find your why, set your goals, go get it. There's probably no greater industry that you can reach your personal goals. And Adam Benzman says, is the roofing industry is personal growth. I forgot, I'm paraphrasing him, but you're working on yourself too, because a lot of what we do, I really care about our customers. I love helping them. I love communicating with them, explaining them the process. And there's no cooler feeling than getting a hug and some tears from a 70-year-old lady who couldn't even file the claim. You've been there. So
yeah.
It just feels good, man.
And I know you, and even if it's not insurance related, there's a lot of things that you've done, cost basis of just hey, I
got
want to help
you.
This lady out, or I want to help this person out.
We
you
do
know?
Some, we
and
do
it's
some
really
practice
cool.
roofs.
Yeah.
We get a lot of practice.
Yeah.
If somebody needs help,
Yeah. And Patriot, I think with all the things that it defines and, it's funny because it's actually, a lot of people think that there's a veteran tied to it.
I get asked all the time. My answer is, they go, did you serve? I go, I never had the pleasure. I tried. They wouldn't take me. I'm asthmatic, glasses, and I'm an only male child. So I served, but just not in the military. It was prison. You know what I mean? I honestly tell all my customers that they're going to find out anyway. And I don't care if you don't like me and you don't want to do business with me, then okay, but I'll be damned. I don't think I've lost a single job, dude. I get more respect. And one dude actually had me sign a t-shirt for him. It felt weird. That's not why I tell them, but I just
I know that you're not, and obviously that's not something you're proud of.
It ain't a blow goring thing.
No,
it's just hey man, I'm too honest sometimes.
Yeah, well, no, but I think that's some of the things that play into the person you are as well. And that's another thing that I would take away from this talk is
authenticity,
just being authentic. Cause I think, and obviously, look up the company, look up you. There's nobody in their right mind that's going to say anything wrong about Tony or the company at large, because you're leading so much of that. And that's another thing is so much of it's leading from the front for you, where you're it's on me. If this goes bad, it's my fault. I have to make sure I'm involved as much as I can. And that's one of those superpowers that you have. And there are some things that go along with that that we've talked about that aren't so great, being a lid sometimes, or having to be the last person to glance at something. And those are things that we're working through. But I think that overall, your desire is that everybody gets the best experience and the most authentic experience, and you lead from the front as a leader.
Yeah.
And that's not what a lot of people do. A lot of people want to try to delegate everything, or they want to. It's I'm too good for that. And that's never been something that I've ever gotten from you whenever, you've helped Zion out or helped Kevin out or helped somebody.
Yeah. Well, like, if I'm gonna own a franchise, owned by McDonald's, like, well, I better go learn how to clean the bathrooms first, because how am I gonna, I'm gonna cash register, I'm gonna do, clean the windows, whatever. So, like, it's like you got to be proficient and at least be able to give insight in just about every aspect. And authenticity is huge. Like, I'm not everybody's favorite vodka, but you're gonna get me whatever. We're gonna be hugging, and I'll probably cuss and not be real politically correct. It is what it is, and it's worked so far. So
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
that's
good, brother.
I'm we're blessed, man. I'm very happy, and I don't know,
Pace
just
yourself, dude. Sometimes, yeah. Love you, brother. You're
love
a
you
good
too,
dude.
buddy.
All right. Well,
Thank
that's
you.
a wrap. We're gonna end this nice and quick.
Oh,
We're
and
at
if you
our.
haven't hired this guy,
Oh, you're gonna give me a plug? I
listen, man, I want to get up and talk to these people. Like,
mean, there
here's
are
what,
70
70 people.
people in the room.
Listen,
You can
this
stand
dude,
up. I'm not gonna
we're at a
stop.
conference, right? We're up in Denver. We're at a conference at a Job Nimbus event. That's the CRM, customer relations management software that we use. He's the keynote speaker in this. And the guy from Job Nimbus is asking questions to the 70 roofing owners, company owners, whatever, how they're set up. And like, our shit's already set up. How this dude that owns the comp that works for the CRM is telling them to set their shit up. Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, we already do all that. And that's, thanks to you. And you are a magician in what you do, and you really unfuck companies well. To go back,
We're gonna have to bleep these a few times. I didn't. I told you to cuss.
no, you get companies back on track, and you started us on the right track. Because I'm not the most organized on the little things, so I'm glad we're not having to rerail the train. You never got
Yeah.
derailed, you know what I
No,
mean?
dude. It's on the tracks for
It
sure.
is.
On the tracks.
Try to
So,
keep it there.
yeah. Well, thanks for checking out this episode. It's been fun, brother. I know I've fist bumped you a
It's all
thousand
right.
times. We'd give it, like I said, we'd give a big bear
We
hug if we
will.
wouldn't have these mics on. But thanks for checking out this week's episode of No Suits Allowed. Tony Carleo, the G, the original. He's the OG for sure. Great friend, awesome business partner, awesome dude. If you ever have an opportunity to meet him, I would definitely encourage. I know he plugged me, so I'll plug him back. You need to go meet this
Buy
guy
a roof from us.
and buy a roof from him if you're the
Let me handle
market.
your insurance
If you're
claim.
in the market. But again, if you love this episode, you feel like it would be meaningful for someone to hear this and listen to this story, we'd love it if you would share, comment,
They can reach out
subscribe.
to me too, man. If I could talk to anybody, like, I'm happy to do so. If I can give any guidance or any insight or whatever, what I can offer people other than, hey man, this is what you do if you get on that path. I'm happy to speak to him, so feel free to reach out to us.
I love it. I love it. Well, that's a wrap. We'll see you in the next episode, and no suits allowed. So check us out.